asking a bodhisattva vow. I'm going to help keep working at this level because I understand that you can be half-assed free, half-assed enlightened as I am, just half-assed. And still get the picture. Ha! To the divine ones of Trikaya, where the embodiment of the all enlightened mind itself, obeisance. This treatise appertains to the profound doctrine of self-liberation by meditating upon the peaceful and wrathful deity. You see, the peaceful and the wrathful, that's two types, you're positive and negative, but you got duality there. Where if you're the happy ones, what the hell, neither side makes any difference. And you go on through the middle way that Buddha was talking about in the very beginning. It expounds the yoga of knowing the mind, seeing of reality, and self-liberation. When the consciousness, when your own consciousness gets to the place, or at least if you can get moments of it, where it's entirely free from everything else, you realize the Dharma phase of the Trikaya, the Dharma phase, the clear phase. It's all happening. It never stops. Any situation is never the same, huh? And while you're trying like hell to straighten something else, then the roof caves in. You know what I mean? So you gotta get so you hang loose and go along with it. By this method, one's mind is understood. Our blessed disciples ponder these teachings deeply. Samaya, Gaya, 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 Imo. Samaya, Gaya, Gaya, meaning. That's the very serious part. Yes, you look in the depths of the dumpster. Anyway, to hell with it. I got to keep talking about it. It's my interpretation. All right? All hail to the one mind that embraces the whole samsara and nirvana. Sure, God. That eternally is, yet is unknown. That, although ever clear and ever existing, is not visible. That, although radiant and unobscured, it's not recognized. We don't recognize it. We can look at it that way and say, screw it, I don't need to bother with it. I'm going to go on with it, you know? And I'll probably get constipated or fall and bust my butt on something. Keep on going. These teachings supplement those of the Buddhists. These teachings are for the purpose of enabling one to know this mind. All has been taught heretofore by the Buddhas who three times in virtue of their known, having known this mind, as recorded in the Doro Dharma consisting of 84,000 slokas and elsewhere, remains incomprehensible. Of course it remains incomprehensible because it was trying to be dramatic and ascetic. You got to know this. You don't have to know a damn thing. You have to be this. And know that by being it. Oh, man, Miller, you're... Stop it, you're running out. The Gongas have not elsewhere taught anything concerning a one mind. Although as vast as the illimitable sky, the sacred scriptures contain a few words relating to knowledge of the mind. Yeah, like precious gems, common sense in the sense of it. They're my type of gems. This is a true explanation of the eternal teaching to the conquerors constitutes a correct method of their practical application. Kai, kai, ho, blessed disciples, hearken, or listen, you silly bastards, or you'll be free from this for eternity. The result of not knowing the right mind. Knowledge of that which is vulgarly called mind is widespread. Sure, the result of not knowing the one mind is the fact that we can smoke a little hay, or nose candy, or go nuts about something else. Why do it? I don't need to punish this vehicle with a minute any more than I have to. It's suffering enough to put up with me. Inasmuch as the one mind is unknown or thought of erroneously or known one-sidedly, without being thoroughly known as it is, desire for these teachings will be immeasurable and also be sought after by ordinary individuals who, not knowing the one mind, do not know themselves. They wander hither and thither in the three regions, thus among the six classes of beings, suffering sorrow. such as a result of their error of not having attained understanding of their mind. Because their suffering is in every way overpowering, even self-control is lacking to them. Thus, although one may wish to know the mind as it is, one fails. Results of desires. Others, in accordance with their own particular faith and practice, have become fettered by desires and cannot perceive the clear light. They are overwhelmed by suffering and are in darkness because of their suffering. Although the middle path contains the twofold truth, desires likewise obscure Kriya, Yoga, Siddha, Sadhana, and even the greatest and sublime states of mind. Sure, we're all tangled up in what is happening to us here. We got to realize that here we're only reacting to what our senses we have here tell us. But there is the other. It's just a matter of our getting so we can handle it. And we know of the middle path. We know of the clear light. We can enjoy everything there is here of desires, but still realize it's a game. It's all a game. We'll fall awake sooner or later. You can't. You may do another half a dozen incarnations. You might not do any. Huh? But look at it with an overall view and say, what the hell, heaven's my home. I'm only here in a short visit. I dive off of 10,000 feet into a barrel of tapioca and come up with a sword in my mouth and it cuts both ways. Huh? Yeah. Ha! Oh, Jesus, Miller, you're nuts today. Transcendent at one with there being really no duality. Pluralism is untrue. Sure. I realize I'm at one with everybody, and everybody is at one with me. God help them all. And we were going through this. They gotta shake us, knock our heads together, find out what the hell it's all about, so we can graduate out of this kindergarten and move on. Until duality is transcendent and at one with realized, enlightenment cannot be attained. You gotta realize the oneness of it. It's not two. It's not two. And then if you just stick to the one, I'm in nirvana, I'm not gonna be bothered by anything here, it don't make any difference what happens to this physique, you're nuts. You gotta be balanced, you gotta find the middle way of going through it. Still keeping your feet on the ground and your head in the clouds. Until the one is transcendent and one would realize, enlightenment cannot be attained. The whole samsara nirvana is an inseparable unity or one's mind, one's consciousness, or in a dreamland. We're drunk. Hell, we don't need to take any dope. We're dopey enough now. Let's fall awake and see what it's all about. And you say you want to take another something else to know more about this, know more about that. You're still looking outside. You're not looking inside. You look inside, you find it's all there. What the hell am I worried about? Come on. Let's have fun while we're here and still be in that. Of course, pushovers like him make it easy. Now, we'll go on. The great self-liberation. Owing to worldly beliefs which he's free to accept or reject, man wanders in the samsara. Therefore, practicing a dharma freed from every attachment, grasp the whole essence of these teachings expounded in this yoga of self-liberation by knowing the mind and its real nature. Truth set forth herein are known as the great self-liberation, and in them culminates the doctrine of the great ultimate perfection, Samaya Gaya, 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 vast, vast, vast as divine. Sure, but you don't need to be so goddamn serious about it. That's all. That which is commonly called mind is of intuitive wisdom. Although the one mind is, it has no existence. Being the source of all the bliss and nirvana and all the sorrows and samsara, it's cherished like the 11 yamas. But it's when we let go of that we find that, what the hell? Why did I get into this mess to begin with? Because I wanted to go further. I wanted to have, hold, keep. You don't have heat or cold anything. When the time comes that they drop the ashes that represents the outer you into the ground, you ain't there no more. And you can't, there's no pockets to carry it with you in ashes. Or even in the stuff they put on you when they bury you in the box. Of course, with me, I'm going to have them drop me into the bay in ashes. I know damn well if I get spread out all over the ocean and I can't pull that all back together again, that's too much work, even at another level. The names given to the mind, some call it the mental self, the ego, the hideous, call it the essentiality of doctrine. Yogacara calls it wisdom, means of attaining the other shore of wisdom. The Buddha essence, the great symbol, the soul seed, the potentiality of truth, and the old foundation. Other names in ordinary language are also given to it. See, we take something, and now that we've learned to talk and got different words that mean this, mean that, they're only names for it. Diamond Sutra tells you that. They're just names given to it. So we diversify it. And then some wiseacre adds four more different meanings to it. And still it's just us. We ourselves, within ourselves, that we have to come to it. There's no other way. The practical application, if one knows how to apply in a threefold manner, this knowing of the mind, all past knowledge lost in memory becomes perfectly clear. Also knowledge of the future, thought of unborn and unconceived. In the present, where the mind remains as it is naturally, it's ordinarily comprehended by its own time. And this is the ideal next. Mind in its true state, what we can have anytime we want to, anytime we let go of our dinky, cotton-picking minds that we're using at this level, because it's a limited phase of our actuality. Then we can come to this place. When one seeks one's mind in its true state, found to be quite intelligible, although invisible, true state mind is naked, immaculate, not made of anything. Being of the voidness, clear, vacuous, without duality, transparent, timeless, uncompounded, unimpeded, colorless, not realizable as a separate thing, but as a unity of all things, yet not composed of them, of one taste, transcendent over differentiation. The thing that I used to give as a symbol of this is, did you ever have a magnifying glass, a huge magnifying glass? Well, you can do the same thing with your mind. And you can take any dinky thing, even if it's a speck, and magnify it so goddamn big and nothing else exists but that. Sense of humor is a safety valve. Have a little belly laugh and say, gee, I nearly got hooked that time, didn't I? Huh? And that goes for all things that hook you in this world. And if you're so much in love with someone and they seem to be in love with you, but you have a differentiation in opinion, so what? The world is full of people. And surely you'll find someone else that is more in tune with you. Nor is one's own mind separable from other minds. To realize the quintessential being of the one mind is to realize the immutable oneness of the tricame. In other words, this clear part that we got, we can look at that in three different ways. We can look at it one way as just clear light, clear understanding. That's a mental attitude. That's the Dharmakaya. If we look at it as a Samhogakaya, then all these glorious imaginary things that we can conceive of in our own mind to infinity itself. And also pure love. If it's pure unselfish love, you're realizing your oneness with everyone. And then if you realize that you are the oneness with anyone and everyone, then you want the bodhisattva thing of, well, if I dig it, may I stick around and help other people to dig it, whatever means I may use to do so. Huh? Then you're trying to live in the complete tricane. If the yogic application of this wisdom be thorough, one will comprehend that which has been set forth above. That is, if you take it in the Miller prose, if you take it the other way, where you can sit down in front of the statue and knock yourself out. And that ain't it. It's in you to come to that realization. That's where it is. Mind is not created. Mind is true nature, being not created, self-radiant. How could one without knowing the mind assert that mind is created? Mind uses this thing we call a brain to run through there and vivify it, but that's not the mind itself. The mind itself is perfectly clear. It gives life to everything. It's the Dharmakaya itself. That guy, take a look at him. He's not worried about anything. Calm and peaceful, contented. He's not saying, oh, my goodness, I'm going to die. Yeah, you'll die if you knock yourself in the head, but you still haven't died anyway. You just got rid of the present incumbent that you have on yourself called the body. There being in this yoga nothing objective upon which to meditate. How can one, without having ascertained the true nature of mind by meditation, assert that mind is created? Mind is true state being reality. How can one, without having discovered one's own mind, assert that mind is created? Mind is true state being undoubtedly ever existing. How can one, without having seen the mind face to face, assert that mind is created? Did you ever see your mind? No, you can't. It's invisible. And yet, it's a potent thing. It's a nothing. We're all nothing. But that nothing makes all this possible. We're in a dreamland. And what dreams some of us are having. One would really call them nightmares instead of dreams. You might as well get clear of it. Enjoy them. Oh, Miller, you're nuts today. The thinking principle being of the very essence of mind, how can one, without having sought and found it, assert that mind is created? Mind being transcended over creation and thus partaking of the uncreated. How can one assert that mind is created? Mind being its primordial and modified naturalness, non-created, as it should be taken to be and without form. How can one assert that it is created? As much as mind can also be taken to be devoid of quality, how can one venture to assert it is created? The self-born quality of this mind being like three voids, undifferentiated, unmodified, how can one assert that mind is created? Mind being without objectivity and causation, self-originated, self-born, how can one, without having endeavored to know mind, assert that mind is created? Inasmuch as divine wisdom dawns in accordance with its own time, that other part called the causal body, that knows it all. But it can't open it up to you at this level until you drop what you've got, at least for a temporary moment, and feel your way. Inasmuch divine wisdom dawns in accordance with its own time, until you're ripe enough and ready enough, it won't happen. And it happens automatically. Somebody can kick you in the butt, push you on the corner, damn near run over you, and the startledness of relief. Your mind is clear for a second. And everything is photographically impressed on your mind of what was there and what was happening. Huh? You get to the clear mind if somebody scares the hell out of you or kicks you in the butt. But otherwise, you don't get there. And then if you're not prepared for it and know where you can get to, you don't get to it. You get it all in your own selves. Change the whole deal. Mind being as it is of this nature and thus unknowable. How can one assert that mind is created? The one mind being barely the voidness and without any foundation. One mind is likewise as vacuous as the sky. To know whether this be so or not. Being in the voidness, not to be conceived as having a beginning or ending. Self-born wisdom has in reality been shining forever. Like the sun's essentiality itself unborn. To know whether this be so or not. Divine wisdom is undoubtedly indestructible, unbreakable. Like the ever-flowing current of a river. To know whether this be so or not. Being merely a flex of instability like the air of the firmament, objective appearances are without power to fascinate and fetter. To know whether this be so or not.
Look within thine own mind.
All appearances are verily one's own concepts, self-conceived in the mind like reflections seen in a mirror. To know whether this be so or not.
Look within thine own mind.
Arising in themselves and being naturally free like the clouds in the sky. All external appearances verily fade away to their own respective places. To know whether this be so or not.
Look within thine own mind.
The Dharma being nowhere save in the mind or consciousness, there's no other place of meditation than the mind. The Dharma being nowhere save in the mind, there's no other doctrine to be taught or practiced elsewhere. The Dharma being nowhere save in the mind, there's no other place of truth for the observance of a vow. The Dharma being nowhere save in the mind, there's no Dharma elsewhere. Or mind. liberation may be attained. Again and again. We're living outwards in the vacuity of space. There's no place to be farther than the mind is shining. But you know, when you get up in the middle of the night and you have to go to the camp, and you've been having a beautiful dream, the quickest thing you want to do is get back to that dream. To hell with this necessity of relieving myself, huh? Think it over. It's all in the mind, right there. You want to get back to that dream you was having. It was so beautiful, so wonderful. Sometimes you can pick it up where you left it. Otherwise, you can try and try and try. And the first thing you know, you get yourself awake. And then you say, damn it, I can't sleep. I'm going to take a sleeping pill. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. But looking inward into one's own mind in search of the shining, you haven't found no thing that shines. If you find something that shines, I'm suspicious you're using your imagination subconsciously and don't realize it. One's own mind is transparent, without quality. You can put it on anything you want to make a mountain out of it, but don't forget it. Being the clear light that voices one's own mind is the Dharmakaya. Being void of quality is comparable to a cloudless sky. It's not a multiplicity, it is omniscient. Very great indeed is the difference between knowing and not knowing the import of these teachings. The wondrousness of these teachings. This self-originated clear light, eternally unborn, is a parentless babe of wisdom. Wondrous is this. Being uncreated, it's natural wisdom. Wondrous is this. You got it now. What the hell? You don't want to use it. You're afraid if I use it, I'll go nuts. Well, maybe you're nuttier now than you would be if you went nuts. Who knows? Not having known birth, that knows not death. Although this total reality, there's no perceiver of it. Although wandering in the samsara, it remains undefiled by ignorance. Although seeing the Buddha, it remains unallied to good. Although possessed by all beings, it's not recognized. Those not knowing the fruit of this yoga seek the other fruit. Although the clear light of reality shines within one's own mind, the multitude looks for it elsewhere. It sure as hell is. Wonders and not very satisfying. Because when you get what you want, if you can be satisfied with it for 2 weeks, Jesus, you're doing wonderful, that you haven't reached out for something like that. You're full of shit. Get that out of you. Get it out of you. Take a cathartic. Clear yourself. Fourfold great path. All I owe to this wisdom here set forth concerning the invisible, immaculate mind. This teaching is the most excellent of teachings. This meditation, devoid of mental concentration, all-embracing, free from every imperfection, is the most excellent of meditations. This practice concerning the uncreated state, when rightly comprehended, is the most excellent of practices. This fruit of the yoga of the eternally unsought naturally produces the most excellent of fruits. And herewith we have accurately revealed the fourfold great path. Teaching, meditation, practice, fruit. And in one way, you can say a good big belly laugh. And realizing that in that clearness you're in them, you could be there all the time. This teaching without error, this great path, is of the clear wisdom here set forth, which being clear and unerring is called. Meditation upon this very great path is the clear wisdom here set forth, which being clear and unerring is called. The practice relating to this unerring great path is of the clear wisdom here set forth, which being clear and unerring is called. The fruit of this unerring great path is the clear wisdom here set forth, which being clear and unerring is called. Path. It's invisible. It's a path that you've got to follow to get to the inside of you. Find who you are, what you are, and just be. And it's what? They tell me. This yoga also concerns the foundation of the immutable great light. This teaching of this changeless great light is the unique clear wisdom here set forth, which illuminating it three times is called light. Meditation upon this changeless great light is the unique clear wisdom here set forth, which illuminating it three times is called light. The practice relating to this changeless great light is the unique clear wisdom here set forth, which illuminating it three times is called light. The fruit of this change is great light, is the unique, clear wisdom, hyssop form, which illuminating it three times is called. The essence of the doctrine concerning it three times in one month will now be expounded. Yoga concerning past and future, not being practiced, memory of the past remains latent. In other words, you're not thinking about that. The future not being welcomed is completely severed by the mind from the present. And the present not being fixable remains in a state of voidness or clearness. The yoga of the nirvanic path. There being no thing upon which to meditate, there's no meditation is there whatsoever. Being no thing to go astray, no going astray is there, if one be guided by memory. Without meditating, without going astray, look into the true state and self-cognition, self-knowledge, self-illumination. Shine resplendently and be so shining a call. Bodhi, meaning love. Buddha, meaning clearness. Both the same word and part of the trikaya. Pure love element and the pure knowing element together. Oh man, what a team. In the realm of wisdom, transcendent over all meditation, naturally illuminative, where there's no going astray, the vacuous concepts and the self-liberation are the primordial voidness of the Dharmakaya. Without realization of this, the goal of the nirvanic path is unattainable. Simultaneously with its realization, the vajrasattva state is realized. That within yourself, you can imagine anything that you want to, right? And you can feel love for everyone, unselfish love. These teachings are exhaustive of all knowledge and exceedingly deep and immeasurable, although they are to be contemplated in a variety of ways. To this mind of self-cognition and self-originated wisdom, there are no two such things as contemplation and contemplator. When exhaustively contemplated, these teachings merge in the one with the scholarly seeker who has sought them, although the seeker himself when sought cannot be found. Because you've tuned yourself into the one-ness itself. Thereupon is attained the goal of the seeking and also the end of the search itself. Then nothing more is there to be sought, nor is there need to seek anything. This beginningless, vacuous, unconfused, clear wisdom of self-cognition is the very the same as that set forth in the doctrine of the great perfection, or pure love, following that way alone, the bhakti. Way. Although there are no two such things as knowing and not knowing, there are profound and innumerable sorts of meditation, and surpassingly excellent is in the end to know one's mind. There being no two such things as object of meditation, meditator, if by those who practice or do not practice meditation, the meditator of the meditation be sought and not found, thereupon the goal of the meditation is reached, and also the end of the meditation itself. There being no two such things, meditation and object meditation, there's no need to follow the sway of deeply obscuring ignorance. For as a result of meditation upon the unmodified quiescence of mind, being still, not running any movies in your thinking capacity, just being still. If you can do that, the non-created wisdom instantaneously shines forth clearly. Although there is an innumerable variety of profound practices, to one's mind the true state they are non-existent, for there are no two such things as existence and non-existence. Of course there is. We're nothing. But to be nothing is more than everything. Then we're in a position where we can project any concept that we have at that level of the manifestation. Make it happen. There being no two such things as practice and practitioners by those who practice who do not practice, the practitioner of the practice be sought and not found. Thereupon the goal of the practice is reached, and also the end of the practice itself. Just being that. Inasmuch as from eternity there's nothing whatsoever to be practiced, there's no need to follow the sway of errant propensity. The non-created, self-radiant wisdom here set forth, being actions, immaculate, transcendent over acceptance or rejection, is itself a perfect practice. Although there are no two such things as pure and impure, there is an innumerable variety of fruits of yoga, all of which to one's mind is true state, are the conscious content of the non-creative practice. There being no two such things as action and performer of action, if one seeks a performer of action, let no performer of action be found anywhere. Thereupon the goal of fruit obtaining is reached, and also the final consummation itself. There being no other method whatsoever of obtaining a fruit, there's no need to follow the sway of the dualities of accepting, rejecting, trusting, or distrusting these teachings. Hell no, try them. If they work, all right. If they don't, try something else. Realization of the self-radiant, self-born wisdom is a manifestation of the trike in the self-cognizing mind or consciousness is the very fruit of attaining a perfect nirvana. Explanation of the names given to this wisdom. This wisdom delivers one from the eternally transitory eight aims. It can still accomplish the eight physical aims through our here to accomplish. That's eliminating a hell of a lot. But if you get the other as well, you're playing games, and you're playing them in such a way that you're helping other people to understand what this is about so they can find their way to awakening also. Inasmuch as it does not follow the sway of any extreme, it's called the middle path. It's called wisdom because of its unbroken continuity of mind. Being the essence of the vacuity of mind, it's called the essence of the Buddha. If the significance of these teachings were known by all beings, surpassing the action would it be. Therefore, these teachings are called the means of attaining the other shore of wisdom, or the transcendental wisdom. To them who have passed away in nirvana, this mind is both beginning this and end. Therefore, it's called the great symbol, or the great attitude, or the great viewpoint, if you will. And as much as this mind, by being known, by not being known, becomes the foundation of all the joys of nirvana and all the sorrows of samsara, it's called the all-foundation. The impatient ordinary person, when dwelling in his fleshly body, calls this very clear wisdom common intelligence. And not by what somebody else puts on you, by what you discover in your own mind, by fooling around with these principles and using it. You come to a place where common sense will say when somebody tries to give you a snow job about something, so what, I don't need another car, I don't need to buy a car now, I don't need to buy this, I don't need to buy that. You got the roughest thing in the world you're up against here, on the radio and the TV, because they're always pushing on you to try to get you to, you know, get that carrot out of the end of the stick. And you never get it anyway until you realize you're the stick and the carrot both, and all you are is jellyfish bone. And jellyfish don't have any bones. You are now here, me. Huh? Shut up, Miller. Regardless of whatever elegant and varied names be given to this wisdom as we do not live a thorough study, what wisdom other than it is here revealed can one really desire? To desire more than this wisdom is to be like one who seeks an elephant by following its footprints when the elephant itself has been found. I remember the story of the blind man. The elephant, one thought it was like a tree, another thought it was like a snake, and one thought it had a hold of its tail and had a hold of its trunk. Huh? Quite impossible is it, even though one seeks throughout the three regions to find the Buddha elsewhere than in the mind, and the Bodhi elsewhere than in the heart, and realize that the heart and the mind are one. Although he is a seeker into this may seek externally and outside the mind to know himself. How is it possible to find oneself when seeking others rather than oneself? He that seeks to know himself is like a fool, giving a performance in the midst of a crowd and forgetting who he is, and then seeking everywhere to find himself. This simile also applies to one's erring in other ways. And thus one knows or sees the natural state of substance or thing, and recognizes the light in the mind. Release from samsara is unattainable. Unless one sees the Buddha in one's mind, nirvana is obscure. Although the wisdom of nirvana and the ignorance of samsara illusory appear to be two things, they cannot truly be differentiated. It's an error to conceive them otherwise as one. Erring and non-erring are intrinsically also a unity. By not taking the mind to be naturally a duality and allowing it as the primordial consciousness to abide in its own place, beings attain deliverance. The error of doing otherwise in this arises not from ignorance of the mind itself, but from not having sought to know thatness, the beingness. Seek within thine own self-illuminated, self-originated mind, whence firstly all such concepts arise, secondly where they exist, and lastly whether they vanish. This realization is likened to that of a crow, that although already in possession of a pond, flies off elsewhere to quench its thirst, and finding no other drinking place, returns to one pond. Maybe the crow thought instead of finding water, it would find Coca-Cola. Oh, well, similar to the radiance which emanates from the one mind by emanating from one's own mind, he emancipates the mind. But your lower mind has to be still before you can get that apperception, that word from the higher part of yourself. The one mind, omniscient, vacuous, immaculate, eternally the unobscured voidness, void of quality in the sky, self-originated wisdom shining clearly, imperishably, is itself the vacuum. The whole visible universe also symbolizes the one mind, the one consciousness, the Dharmakaya. By knowing the all consciousness in one's mind, one knows to be as void of quality as the sky. Although the sky may be taken provisionally as an illustration of the unpredictable thatness, it's only symbolically so. Inasmuch as the vacuity of all visible things is to be recognized as merely analogous to the apparent vacuity of the sky, devoid of mind, content, and form, the knowing of the mind does not depend on the sky symbol. Therefore, not straying from the path, remain in the very state of void. The yogic science of mental concepts. You'll always be conceiving. It's a capacity that's yours. And when you get to a higher level, you'll always have that. Otherwise, how could you project anything into being to puzzle beings that are here going through their initiation? Various concepts, too, being illusory, none of them really fade away accordingly. Thus, for example, everything postulated as the whole of samsara and nirvana arise from nothing more than mental concepts. Changes in one's train of thought or one's association of ideas produce corresponding changes in one's conception of the external world. Therefore, the various views concerning things are due merely to different mental concepts. Six classes of beings respectively conceive ideas in different ways. The unenlightened externally see the externally transitory dually. The various doctrines are seen in accordance with one's own mental concepts. As a thing is viewed, so it appears. Everything depends on how you look at it. To see things as a multiplicity and so cleaving to separateness is too rare, because it's all one. Now follows the yoga of knowing all mental concepts. The seeing of the radiance of this wisdom or mind, which shines without being perceived, is Buddha. Being of this radiance, which shines without being perceived, is Buddha. As Wei Ning said, we're a Buddha one moment, and we're an ignorant person the next. When we have that big gush of a good feeling inside of us, we want to do something for somebody for no reason, and not a damn thing we can get out of it and do it, we've touched the Bodhisattva principle. Like this guy buying all these cushions for us. He was a Buddha when he bought those cushions. I don't know what the hell he is now. I think he's a mixture. Mistake not, by not controlling one's thoughts, one error. By controlling and understanding a thought process in one's mind, the emancipation is attained automatically. In general, all things mentally perceived are concepts. The bodily forms in which the world of appearance is contained are also concepts of mind. The quintessence of the six classes of beings is also another concept. Happiness of the gods in the heaven worlds of men is another mental concept. Three unhappy states of suffering, too, are concepts of the mind. Ignorance, miseries, and the five poisons are likewise mental concepts. Self-originated divine wisdom is also a concept of the mind. Full realization of the passing away of nirvana It's also a concept of mind. Misfortune caused by demons and evil spirits is also a concept of mind. Gods and good fortune are also concepts of mind. Likewise, the various perfections are mental concepts. Unconscious one-pointedness is also a mental concept. The color of any objective thing is also a mental concept. The qualityless and the formless is also a mental concept. The one and the many at one is a mental concept. Existence and non-existence as well as non-created are concepts of the mind. They're all concepts. Now, the magic that you will be using at another level is so much greater in understanding. We've got to learn to control them here and use them to our benefit, forward. The realization and the great liberation is to realize that nothing, nothing save mind is conceivable. Mind, when any of it conceives all, it comes into existence. And that which comes into existence is like the wave of an ocean. State of mind, transcendent over all duality, brings liberation. Matters not what name may be carelessly applied to mind. Truly mind is one. Apart from mind or conscious, there is not else. The unique one mind is foundationless and ruthless. Nothing else to be realized. The non-created is the non-visible. By knowing the indivisible voidness in the clear light, they're not seeing them separately. There being no multiplicity in the voidness, one's own clear mind may be known. Yet the thatness itself is not knowable until the contemplator and the contemplation become one. Huh? Mind is beyond nature, but experienced in bodily forms. The realization of the one mind contains the all deliverance. Without mastery of the mental processes, there can be no realization. Similarly, although sesame seed is the source of oil and milk the source of butter, not until the seed be pressed and the milk churned, the oil and butter appear. Although sentient beings are the Buddha essence itself, not until they realize this can they attain nirvana. Even a coward or an illiterate person may by realization attain liberation. Concluding sections. General conclusion. That lacking in power of expression, the author here made a faithful record of his own yogic experiences. To one who has tasted honey, it's superfluous for those who have not tasted to offer an explanation of its taste. Not knowing the one mind, even pandits go astray despite their cleverness in expounding many different doctrinal systems. To give ear to the reports of one who has neither approached and seen a Buddha or realized a Bodhi, even for a moment, is like hearkening to flying rumors concerning a distant place one has never visited. But simultaneously with the knowing of mind comes release from good and evil. The mind is not known, all practice of good and evil results in nothing more than heaven or hell. For the samsara and back into incarnation. As soon as one's mind is known to be the wisdom of the voidness, concepts like good and evil, karma, cease to exist. Even as in the empty sky there seems to be, but there's not a fountain of water, so in the voidness is neither good nor evil. It just is, and you are, and all you have to do is be. When one mind is thus known in its nakedness, this doctrine of seeing the mind naked, this self-liberation, is seen to be exceedingly profound. Seek therefore thine own wisdom within thee. It is the vast deep. Final good wishes. All hail, this is the knowing of the mind, the seeing of reality, self-liberation. And for the sake of future generations who shall be born during the age of darkness, these essential aphorisms are necessarily brief and concise. Herein set forth were written down in accordance with tantric teaching. Although they're taught during the present epoch, the text of them was hidden away amidst the cache of precious things. May this book be read by those blessed devotees of the future. The Guru's final charge to the disciples. Samaya, Gaya, Gaya. Vast, vast, vast is divine wisdom. These teachings call the knowing of the mind and self-identifying, self-realizing, self-liberating reality were formulated by Padmasambhava, the spiritually endowed teacher of Yoga. May they not wane until the whole samsara is empty. Here's a quote from Buddha. Therefore, O Ananda, be lamps unto yourselves. Be a refuge to yourselves. Betake yourselves to no external refuge. Hold fast to the truth as a lamp. Hold fast to the truth as a refuge. Look not for refuge to anyone beside yourself. According to that quote of the Buddha, I could say there's no religion higher than truth. And here's a quote that took place of throwing the alligator on its back. The clear light is the source of light which lighteth everyone of humankind if it cometh into the world. It is the radiance of cosmic consciousness. Yogins realize it while still in the fleshy body, and all mankind glimpse it at the moment of death. To light of the Buddha, of the Christ, and of all masters of life, and to the devotee in whom it shines unimpededly. It is the guru and the deliverer.
Gati, gati, para, gati, para, sam, gati, bodhisattva. Gati, gati, para, gati, para, sam, gati, bodhisattva. Gate, gate, para, gate, para, sangate, bodhisattva.